The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joining the studio by Ali Moreno. Lots going on today. Later on in the programme, Jan Arge Fjortoff will be joining us to look ahead to the big game in Germany this weekend. Of course, live on ESPN Plus, Bayer Leverkusen taking on Bayern Munich. Sid Lowe joins us well to preview Barcelona against Valencia. Plus, Stevie and Shaq are here to discuss Raheem Sterling saying he's open to a move away from Manchester City. All that to come. But first, we start last night at Columbus. US men taking on Costa Rica in the World Cup qualifier. Of course, under a lot of pressure, the youngsters going into this side after a defeat against Panama. This was the youngest starting lineup ever in US history in a World Cup qualifier. And they find themselves 1-0 down within the opening minute. Fuller making it 1-0.
Ronald Matarrita gets down the left-hand side, floats the ball into the back post. Poor defending at the back post. Fuller arrives late, doesn't make the cleanest contact, but it really doesn't matter because everybody's just ball-watching. Optional defending at the back post. Not the cleanest finish, but effective.
Yep. However, the U.S. would respond, and Serginho Dest, what a finish this is, to make it 1-1.
Heavily criticized because he doesn't defend. Well, he's still not doing that, but if he's going to do this, then who cares?
Wow.
It doesn't really matter. Serginho does something special. Now, Matarrita could do a better job with stepping to the ball. He doesn't, but the finish is just special.
So that would make it 1-1. Now feels like the apt time to remind you that there is no VAR in CONCACAF qualifying because you take a look at penalty given.
What?
Should there have been?
100% a penalty. It's a turnover. Yunus Musa trying to clear the ball actually puts into the path of Moya. And on this slight challenge, Richards is late. I think there's no doubt this is a foul. 100% a penalty, but not given.
No, not given indeed. As we take things into the second half, 20 minutes after the break, the U.S. would take the lead. Weah shot with a deflection into the back of the net.
Now, goalkeeper Moreira had come onto the field for Keylor Navas. He went out with an injury. This is a poor ball from Weston McKennie, but Fuller misplays that ball. It's a good run in behind from Timothy Weah, who hits it off the post, off the back of Moreira, and into the back of the net. The U.S. a little fortunate. Costa Rica unfortunate, but the United States, well, they do not care. 2-1.
Certainly don't. Three big points at home then, especially after the defeat on the road last week. Taking a look then at the stats, it is US 2, Costa Rica 1. Let's get some reaction now, shall we? Sam Borden caught up with Serginho Dest.
Serginho, first, that strike. What did you see? What did it feel like?
It was an amazing feeling. I just got it in. I saw Weston moving out. I got it in, and I was just like, I had to shoot it. So I just shot it, and it went in. Amazing feeling.
When you saw it hit the back of the net, what went through your mind?
I was just so happy, you know, like we needed that ball, and we need to win the game because the points are important. We all want to go to the World Cup, so I think it was a really important goal.
What does it say about your team to take a punch like you guys did in the first minute and then come back from that?
Yeah, that says a lot, man. The mentality of this team is really well. You know, we help each other. We're playing like a team. And, as I said, you know, everybody see, like, we need those points. So we have to go for it.
Only 1 month till Mexico. How do you feel about where this team is right now?
They play 1-1? Mexico?
No, 1 month until you play Mexico. How do you feel about where your team is right now?
Oh, yeah, I think we did a great job today. You know, of course, we tied. We lost against Panama last game. But right now we're on the right track. So we have to keep continuing this.
Thanks very much.
So confirmation of the significance of that result. The U.S. then up to second in CONCACAF qualifying. As Sam mentioned, they face Mexico next month in a game that is live on ESPN2 on November 12th. Let's get more reaction then, shall we, from Columbus, from Jermaine Casey and Seth.
The star of tonight,
Well, there's probably a few, but few bigger than that man right there, Barcelona's Sergiño Dest, who provided the equalizer for the United States in the first half. It was an equalizer, guys, that they desperately needed after falling behind just 59 seconds into this match. The cross comes in from Ronald Matarita, and Keisher Fuller, Casey, converts.
Well, it was just all over the place from the first minute, and it was frustrating. Zach's got to come out, head a ball, no marking at the far post, player unmarked centrally. Dest leaves him onside by being out of bounds, but so frustrating, but great response.
Jermaine, you know a thing or two about a big game banger goal. How about this from Sergiño Dest?
You know, we had this conversation before, and we say, like, his strength is going forward, trying to be dangerous, get chances to score a goal, you know, and he's doing it perfect.
Penalty here or no?
I don't think so. No, right? I think, look, he doesn't initiate the contact. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't think you don't leave that in the hands of the referee, but that's in the end, got away with it.
Yeah, some close calls for the United States, especially this one in the second half. Thank goodness Costa Rica started their over 35 team tonight. Guys just ran out of gas. That should have been a one-on-one.
Yeah. They had a moment, like, you know, to see it, like, when we play the ball, it's deep. There you can see Team Easy where goes deep, deep run, deep ball. With a little bit of luck, hit the post, goes up the goalkeeper, up with
the
goal.
Moreira, the sub in for Keylor Navas at the half. Navas would have stopped that.
Yeah, you would have thought so. And we don't know why Navas had to come off at halftime.
But I tell you this, I actually don't care if he stops.
No, I don't care either. I don't care at all. But
we got the 3 points.
All right, so from the 9 points that were up for grabs this window, the U.S. took 6. Jermaine, good enough?
At the end, it has to be good enough. We said we wanted to, we wish we get like 6 points after 2 home games, right? And then get maybe a point or a win. So we don't have anything on the road, but we're happy with the 6 points for
sure. Yeah, exactly. We said that you have to win your home games, try to pick up stuff on the road. Minimum 6. We felt that 9 were possible. 7, it was probable. But okay, hey, did what needed to be done first and foremost. And let's be honest, we've got a new home here in Ohio. This is the first time that we've been at this stadium. The crowd was behind it. Could have fallen apart after going a goal down. But once Sergiño Dest's goal came in, the crowd was unbelievable.
Thank you very much, guys. Let's get more reaction, shall we, to that victory for the U.S. Shaka and Stevie with us. I don't mean to start as Mr. Negative Pants. That was a penalty, wasn't it, Stevie?
Yes, it was a penalty. Not only was that a penalty, but had there been VAR, I would love to have seen the ball from Aronson wide that puts Musa through just before the Dest goal. I think he's offside, so... Listen, as well as the U.S. played, well, certainly they were better than the opposition, but I'll tell you what, the big calls didn't half go their way. So, yeah, on the one hand, the best team did win, but on the other hand, they got to thank the lucky stars. And they also got to thank the lucky stars that Brian Ruiz can't walk, never mind run, because he was clean through. He had a 15-yard start. I think it was on Richards, but he picked him up in 5 yards. It was actually cringeworthy. So, yeah, the best team won, but a lot of things went their way at the right time.
A penalty for you, Shank?
It wasn't. I don't think it was. I thought Richards timed his intervention perfectly, got himself in between man and ball. And the striker, in my opinion, kicked into Richards as opposed to the other way around. I still don't think it was.
How did Richard's leg get there? How did Richard's leg get there, Shaka? He just slide tackled nobody? He just slid tackled.
He slid in between man and ball. He slid in between man and ball, which I think...
The guy's going to take a shot.
As a defender, you can't put yourself in between the man and the ball? Hold on. As a defender, you can't put yourself in between man and ball?
Well, let me explain it to you. Let me explain it to you. If I'm about to kick the ball, right, as a defender's coming, he's allowed to go for the ball as well. He's not allowed to jam his foot behind the ball to block my kick. He's got to go for the ball, and he doesn't get anywhere near the ball. And so when Maya goes to take a shot, he kicks him. It's a free kick all day long.
This is the angle here. You see it really well, don't you, from this angle? The fact that, bang...
It's a penalty.
Yeah, that he...
It's a penalty. Whatever angle you want to take, it's a penalty. Chris Richards eventually gets to the ball, but he takes the scenic route to get to the ball, and in the process, he does take down Jonathan Moya. For me, it's a penalty, and it's a no-doubter, by the way.
Jack, have you got some sort of U.S. citizenship application coming up?
No, I don't. I just don't understand. If you let the ball, if you leave space in between you and the ball, even if it's in a shooting action, and the defender comes in between you and that ball, and then you kick into the back of the defender, how is that not allowed?
It's not allowed, Chaka. The defender's allowed to go for the ball. He's not allowed to block your boot. He can't just... He cannot. If you're going this way... To kick a ball, he just can't stick his boot there so you can kick him, and then that's not a foul. Ball's there, he shoots through there, that's not a foul.
As I saw it, I thought Richards did well to get in between man and ball. If the striker kicks into the back of him, that's on the striker. I can't see what's awfully wrong with that. I really can't.
Okay, we're going around in circles.
If you want to slide tackle somebody, you've got to touch the ball.
We're not getting anywhere. We're going around in circles here a little bit. just to tie a bow on this, Ali, much improved, 3 points, much needed after Panama. Yeah. They're going to qualify for the World Cup. Yes. It'll all be fine.
Right. It's all going to be fine. Now, it depends on how you look at this. Because, yes, there was a reaction. But why did you need a reaction? The Tifo hadn't even gone down and you were giving up a goal. So that says something about this team. The fact that Brian Ruiz is carrying Stevie on his back and can't quite run, well, that's a problem. But how did we get to that? By turning the ball over in a bad area and giving Brian Ruiz the opportunity to actually look as bad as he did in a counterattack opportunity. Okay. So there are positives here in the sense that there was a reaction from the United States, that they get the 3 points, that they found a way to win the game. However, let's not ignore some of the flaws, and let's not ignore the fact that they were playing against a team in Costa Rica that averaged, I don't know, 500 years of age.
That's not possible. No, well, the oldest person in the world is like 100.
Okay. Yeah. Here's my point. They're really old, Dan. They're really old.
500.
Did you see Brian Ruiz running?
I did. Sebi said that Keylor Navas would have saved that second goal. Shaka, is that harsh?
Listen, I could have saved that second goal. I could have beat Brian Ruiz in a race and then gone in goal and saved that second goal. That's how awful it was for Costa Rica on the night. And listen, I think that's the telling difference between Costa Rica at the very least not getting a point and somehow leaving with none. And to Ali's point before, as good as the US have been in qualifying so far, as well positioned as they have, as you look around CONCACAF, and maybe I'm a little bit biased here, but none of these teams outside of Mexico and the US look like anything I remember them to be. This is the same Costa Rica we've seen for the last two or three cycles. This is the same Brian Ruiz and Joel Campbell, who cannot run in the way that they did 8 years ago. Yet, when you look at the US's roster and how deep it is and where these players are playing and plying their trades daily, they should not be making as hard work of this campaign as they have. They're sitting nicely, they'll qualify, but geez, it's been underwhelming given the talent that they have at their disposal.
Hopefully less age discrimination on the latest edition of Football Americas. You can check that out with Seven Herc. More reaction to the US's victory over Costa Rica. That will be available this evening. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Now, interesting stuff from Raheem Sterling, speaking to the Financial Times on the possibility of leaving Manchester City. If there was an opportunity to go somewhere else, I'd be open to it at this moment in time. I should learn different languages. I quite like the French and Spanish accents.
Oh, okay.
As an English player, all I know is the Premier League, and I've always thought, you know, maybe one day I'd love to play abroad and see how I would come up against that challenge. I'm just raring to go, ready to be playing football matches regularly, scoring goals regularly. If football for me is not at a certain standard, I'm not really at my happiest. If I want my happiness at a certain level, I need to be playing football. I need to be scoring goals and enjoying myself. Let's welcome Jan Agerfjordtoft into the show as well. Jan, these quotes have blown up in the UK media. Obviously, people suggesting that he wants out of Manchester City because he's not starting every game. Is that right?
I see a young lad, he's still young. I see a young lad who wants to experience life, wants to go abroad. I've been fortunate in my life to play football in four different countries, and it's the most valuable time I've ever had. And I see, thank God that there is some English players who wants to go abroad, try to explore life and living abroad, fantastic. And Sterling, if he wants to go abroad, good luck to him. If that comes in a time that he doesn't play a lot for Pep Guardiola, I don't see this as anything against Manchester City or against Pep Guardiola. I see Raheem Sterling have a good vision of life, try to experience something else in his life. This is not a big deal for me.
How will Pep Guardiola react, Stevie, do you feel?
I get the feeling that Pep won't say an awful lot about it. I think it'll be water off a duck's back to him. He'll understand. I mean, this just sounds like Sterling figuring out that he doesn't want to play for anybody else in the Premier League because he knows Man City are the best team. He certainly can't go to Liverpool, that's for sure, or Man United. And so he's obviously sat and thought about it and came up with this going abroad line. Again, he doesn't seem to me as a guy that all his life was sitting thinking about how can I broaden my horizons and go abroad and speak another language. I think he's sat down and got this all calculated out, knowing he's doing this interview and just making it known, probably more to Manchester City, that he's not happy sitting on the bench and he wants to play.
So he said France and Spain, that's PSG, Barcelona, Real Madrid. Uh-huh. Does he walk into all of those sides?
He does not walk into PSG. He could potentially walk into Barcelona. I don't know that he walks into Real Madrid. So I know that he likes a Spanish and French accent, apparently.
Yeah, I could help him with that.
Yes, you're very good with your Spanish.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect, your Spanish. Look, I think there is some value to the fact that you have a player, and it's a significant name within the Premier League, and we think of the Premier League sometimes as being very insular, very sort of isolated from the rest of the world, a player who's saying, you know what, I like to go elsewhere. How about that? How about I don't have to deal with all the nonsense here? I'll go elsewhere and deal with the nonsense somewhere else. So there is something refreshing about that. But I'm with Stevie in regards to that. You don't say these things unless you're sending a message.
Right.
There is an ulterior motive to this. It's not just, hey, I want to live life. While that's great, and I support that, and I support his willingness to go and experience something different, I think there's more to this than that.
He's 27, Shaka. He's got a contract at City until 2023. You take a look at possible suitors. Are they really going to pay a lot of money for someone who is getting towards the twilight of their career?
They're not going to pay an awful lot of money. As you mentioned, Danny's got under 2 years left on his contract. Let's assume he sees out this season at City. That means he's got a year to go. And all of a sudden, that transfer value, that whole lot that he's reported to be worth, starts to plummet because he leaves in a free at 12 months after next summer. I see nothing, I read nothing to this. All Raheem Sterling is saying what everybody knows. I am going to see out this contract. My value is going to be going down. I guess I'm going to be affordable, at least in 12 months' time. And I'm not just stuck to the Premier League. I am happy to explore other options. Whether, as the boys mentioned, that's Barcelona or PSG or Real Madrid, whoever it is. But if the likes of Arsenal or anybody else want to come calling, then they have to put their money where their mouths are, because he's not going to be pigeonholed into just staying in English football. It's a possibility, but not a pigeonhole.
But I was going to do my German accent, well, Jan, but I feel that could get me into trouble. What about Bayern Munich?
No, he won't go there. The English players or British player won't go to Bayern Munich because that doesn't happen. But it's unbelievable that we're talking
Yeah, just explain why not. You say that quite flippantly for those of us maybe who can't understand
No,
why.
But it's just not a tradition for British players to go there. Young players, young British players would go there. We remember Mark Hughes, I think he was going from Barcelona over to Bayern Munich, then back to the British Isles again. But it's so cool that when one British player is saying that he wants to go abroad, it's like the same with the Brits. When they go abroad, they just want their egg and bacon and the Sun and Daily Mirror. And this is all people that, if they say something, they want to go and play somewhere else. We think this is a big, big deal. Everybody does that. Let's have a British player to go abroad to have some success. Fantastic.
Yeah, and I feel like you're pigeonholing all of us British people.
Yeah, but they are. Be honest. Be honest. I play with the British players all the time. When they come abroad, they want to bring Britain with them.
Stephen,
So the Italians, when they came to London, they didn't eat pasta, did they? Hey, Viale, I know Burnley's mates at Chelsea, they stopped eating pasta and started eating sausage and bacon, didn't they?
Yeah. The Italians are European, you guys are Brits.
Yeah, right. Okay. Back to Sterling. Sterling's not stupid. There's a guy called Mbappe who absolutely 100% at the end of this season is going to Real Madrid. So there's your little seed thrown in for PSG. Oh. And if you're PSG, that's a good move.
Stevie, that's a good connecting move for them. All the dots. Beautifully there. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast.
Did you call him a culture vulture?
Stevie's a culture vulture. Yeah, we saw him in Madrid. TGI Fridays, Burger King. Bosh. Mark Ogden's a special guest.
They tell us this is the most watched game of football ever. They say this has been the biggest game. It's the 1940s.
Tenemos un plantel fortísimo para poder ganar.
It's heaven for Barcelona.
El mejor club del mundo, el más prestigioso del mundo.
All dipping into El Gran Clásico. It is showtime.
Love that promo. It's Barcelona against Real Madrid and it is live on ESPN Plus on Sunday, October 24th. Coverage starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. Of course, preceding that though, another big game at the Camp Nou on Sunday. Barcelona taking on Valencia. That game also live on ESPN Plus. Coverage starting at 2:30 Eastern as we welcome in Sid Lowe as we take a look at the table. It's 8th versus 9th. Valencia, of course, great start to the season. And rubbish run, though, coming into this clash. And for Barcelona, Sid, well, what a couple of weeks it's been, considering they haven't played. However, their players have very much shone on the international stage. Obviously, Gavi now the hottest property in the world. You had Pedri, who, of course, has signed a new contract and he's worth $1 billion. Busquets is the best midfielder in the world also after his Nations League performance. So the question is, what happens to these players when they put on a Barcelona shirt?
Well, I suppose what you do is you look at Barcelona and you see it as a system failure, not just as individual players. The whole structure doesn't work as well. That it's not as well built. It's not as well put together. Certainly, in particular, Busquets. I think he's the player where you really look at this because, of course, we've seen positive things from Pedri. We've seen positive things from Gavi at club level. But Busquets, certainly in terms of the expectations around him, hasn't played at the level that he's played in these last few games for Spain. And I think, in particular, when you look at him, you look at a Spanish national team that gives him more passing avenues, gives him great support. I think allows him to play on the front foot, allows him to defend forwards rather than be turned and forced to defend backwards, which I think is something that he just can't do anymore. But I think if he's stepping into the game, he can still be very, very effective. And that's the big, from a Barcelona point of view at least, that's the big talking point out of these last two Spanish national team games. People looking at Busquets and going, is that the same guy?
So, Ali, is it naive of me or too simplistic to say, right, if I'm Ronald Koeman, I think, right, how does this work so well for Spain and how can I mirror that with Barcelona?
You don't have quite the same personnel available to you in Barcelona. The very best version of Barcelona with Sergio Busquets in the midfield was a team that was able to press higher up the field, that was able to counter pressure, that even when they lost the ball in possession in the attacking half, they would get that possession right back. And that's what Sid is talking about, where Busquets is stepping into the pressure.
Right.
Because you're not able to press the way that you used to, because you don't quite have that same mentality, the system, the players, the personnel, whatever is it that you want to point the finger at. When Barcelona loses the ball, they're unable to counter pressure, they're unable to press higher the field, and now Sergio Busquets is turned around and chasing around the midfield. And when you make Sergio Busquets and Pedri and Gavi, all those guys chase around in the midfield, it's not what they want to do, it's not what they do naturally, and so therefore, all those spaces that they now have to cover because the quality of their possession is not nearly as good, now they get exposed defensively. Oh, and if you had players in the back line that maybe were able to deal with 1v1 situations a little bit better, that would make it easier. But they don't have that either. And so, therefore, when this team gets stretched and they're forced to defend, they're in trouble.
But they do have Frankie de Jong there as well, who isn't Spanish, okay, but he's a massive addition, 70 million plus.
Okay. Did you just hear what I said? Same thing. Same thing. This is a guy that if you're in the attacking half and you lose the ball in a bad area and then he's able to press the ball then and there and win the ball in the attacking half, he's great. But if you force him to go in the opposite direction, now it takes him away from doing some of the things that he does very well. That late arriving run into the 18-yard box in the attacking half, he can't do that because he's too busy over here trying to cover the holes that Sergio Busquets is leaving wide open.
It is, of course, a massive week for Barcelona. Obviously, we're excited about the Clásico here, but preceding that, Sid, you've got that tie, as we mentioned, against Valencia in Catalonia. And, of course, let's not forget as well, in the Champions League against Dinamo Kiev. Remember, at week three of the Champions League, Barcelona have still yet to register a single point.
Yeah, this is absolutely huge from Barcelona's point of view. Of course, the way that the Champions League is structured means that they now get Dinamo Kiev two games in a row. I wouldn't go quite so far as to say they have to win both of those, but to be honest, they pretty much have to win both of those to give themselves a real chance of getting through. The likelihood is you would get through with 9 points. If they get the six from there, they can get three more from the remaining two games. But it could not have been a worse start for them. You know, this is a team that's lost two games, that's not scored yet, that's conceded three goals in each of those two games, and is in really, really big trouble. And it's a group that's structured in a way now in terms of the points the other teams have picked up. But it means that Barcelona are very, very much on edge. To be honest with you, if you look at this group now, you probably think to yourself, the most likely outcome is that Barcelona don't get through it.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Europa League is their best bet. Sid, meanwhile, one bit of good news for Barcelona is that starting off this weekend, for the first time this season, the Camp Nou can be at full capacity.
Yeah, my guess is that it won't be this weekend because this news has come a little bit late and that maybe trying to get people mobilised and ready for it. And also there's quite a lot of season ticket holders who had decided earlier in the season when there was uncertainty about, well, obviously about the team, but uncertainty about what would happen with the stadium. Quite a lot of season ticket holders, I think it's around about 25,000, haven't renewed their season tickets for this season. So I don't think it will be full, but it can be. And of course, I think that does mean that for the Clásico, it's likely to be pretty close to full. Maybe not 100%, but very, very close.
Hey, we'll all be there. That'll boost the capacity.
Absolutely.
For sure. Sid Lowe, as always, thank you very much. A lot of excitement once again for this new generation of Barcelona player that is coming through. Be sure to check out Tor Christian Carlsen's article over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
The Bundesliga back tomorrow here on ESPN. Hoffenheim taking on Köln on Saturday. Borussia Dortmund against Mainz, one of the feature games on ESPN Plus. And then Sunday, what a match. Bayer Leverkusen taking on Bayern Munich. That game also on ESPN Plus. And the reason it's so big, it's first versus second. Bayer Leverkusen have been excellent, haven't they, so far this season. They go into the clash, level points with Bayern Munich. Jan, back with us. Jan, you'll be going to this game. What a cracker it should be.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. After Bayern Munich lost against Eintracht Frankfurt at home, very surprisingly, I mean, all neutrals, they just prayed that Bayern could lose some points, and they did. And then against my Eintracht Frankfurt was like, who knew that would happen? But then again, then coming into this game with Bayer Leverkusen, it's exciting times for them. Bayer Leverkusen, more or less a company club from Bayer, the big concern who makes medicines and headache pills. And now they don't need it anymore because they got a coach now in Gerardo Serrano. They took him from Switzerland and he won three times the championship with Young Boys Bern. And why is that important? Yes, because Bayer Leverkusen never been seen as winners. There's just been a club also ran. They were called Neverkusen because they never won anything and all that kind of thing. But this time, they look good. This with Florian Wirtz, the big talent of German football at the moment. They're very excited to look to. And the schedule makes it this way, that Bayern losing a game and then they go to Leverkusen. Unfortunately, when you go to Leverkusen, there's not much crowd. There is around 25, 30,000. But still, Bayer Leverkusen look like the real deal this season. So this could be an unbelievable good game. And maybe Bayern can lose two games in a row. That probably hasn't happened in 80 years, but we can hope for it.
We certainly can. Meanwhile, on Saturday, you're going to Dortmund against Mainz, Jan. Why?
Because we hope that our man will be back. Erling Haaland has been out for three games now, two Bundesliga games and one Champions League game, and his injury has been getting better and better. He couldn't play for Norway. We could win without him, but it seems that he could be back on Saturday, so that's why I'm starting my weekend in Dortmund.
And of course, a video that your boy posted up has gone viral. What's more impressive, the shooting or the balancing of the balls?
I guess the technicians who made that film, because I have to try that can't be possible even for a Norwegian, can it? But it's an unbelievable cool video, and he looks fit, doesn't he, when he's doing that. One.
Yeah.
Okay,
go for it. I don't know how you balance balls like that.
Yeah, go, Erling. One. Okay. Mm. And can you do two? Maybe you can. You're an expert to do two goals. Of course you do. Double pack, they're saying in Germany. Can you make a hat-trick? Of course you can. Well done, Erling. You're back against Mainz and get on some goals.
I would have quit in balancing the balls.
It's really difficult, isn't it? How would you do that? What a faff.
I know.
That's not a first take job. That's going to take a while.
I hope not.
There's got to be something going on with those balls. Just a reminder, Jan will be back with us for extra time. Shaka and Stevie as well to answer your tweets. You can always check that out over on our YouTube channel. South American qualifying continues tonight. Brazil and Argentina, of course, looking good. Interesting battle, though, isn't there? Mid-table with regards to who will be joining them in Qatar at the World Cup.
I thought you were going to say bottom of the table.
No, Ali, I haven't mentioned it.
Because, you know, Venezuela does play Chile.
Bolivia already beaten Paraguay 4-0. Meanwhile, it's Colombia against Ecuador. Big game. Argentina, Peru, Chile are going to get 3 points against Venezuela.
Oh, see, there you go.
And it is Brazil against Uruguay. Let's welcome back, shall we, Shaka and Stevie to the show. Goodness me, who knows what this is going to be like, considering the dross that he served up last week. Shaka Hislop has been given the task of been giving us the power rankings internationally.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Shaka, can you see these? Can you do these yourself?
What a power rankings it is, Dan. What? All right, I'll go. I'll just go, Dan. Number 10, Mexico. Okay, topping CONCACAF, can't argue too much with that. Spain made harder work of qualifying than they should, but they lost in the Nations League final, so they're in a 9. Saudi Arabia, 100% in Asia. Only country can say that. They've got a big test coming up, away to Australia. Senegal and Morocco, 100% in Africa, in the most unforgiving of the qualifying campaigns. 7-6. Germany, 5 out of 5 since the Euros under Flick. They're in at 5. Argentina at 4. Denmark, 100%, and have qualified at 3. France, the Nations League winners and top of their group, are 2. Brazil, top in CONMEBOL, have only dropped 2 points. They come in at my number 1.
I don't even know where to start.
Oh, what's your big issue?
Well,
that Xhaka forgot halfway through.
Yes. The fact that Xhaka doesn't even know the teams that are involving his top 10, that's a problem. But then, when he tells us about Spain, he tells us all the negatives about Spain, but hey, they're still in my top 10.
Yeah.
And then he kind of goes on and on to explain the rest of the top 10 and by telling us what's wrong with his top 10, but then, hey, they're still here in our top 10. Come on, Xhaka.
Jan, do you have any particular issues with Xhaka? Not in general, just with the power rankings.
On Xhaka, I always love to be with Xhaka. Let's start there. But his power ranking was quite interesting. I was about to Google if I didn't use my my phone doing this thing. But I think it was an interesting. It was interesting that he took Denmark there. Denmark has just been qualifying. 27 goals they've scored. They haven't conceded yet. What's quite interesting. Hansi Flick has done a fantastic job with Germany. Got them back. Got Timo Werner going. Leroy Sané going, and that. But I missed Italy. Where was Italy? I love Italy. With Saudi Arabia, I just because they bought his club, he shouldn't bring them into that top list, should he? So that's his sucking up to get a job as a goalkeeping coach at Newcastle. Yeah. I think so.
Jan has used the word interesting quite a lot there, Stevie. Not necessarily the word that I would use to describe this.
No, it's nonsense as usual. How is France not number one? How can France not be above Brazil? And the other one is Spain, right? Hey, listen, you're only as good as your last game. Spain lost the last game.
Yeah.
Scotland didn't. Scotland won the last two in the trot. So why would you Spain ahead of Scotland?
Yes. Yeah, goodness me. Hey, you know who else won their last game?
Oh, God.
Vamos, Venezuela!
People might be watching this after the Chile game.
Norway. Norway won their last game.
There we go. Beautiful. Just a reminder, you can check out a lot more video content over on our YouTube. I promise you it's better than the power ranking. Don't forget to subscribe as well.
Those rankings were great!
It's a low bar.
Nobody disagreed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure, though, to stay tuned. Extra Time is next.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Look at this, Stevie's here, Shaka as well, both in kind of Czech plate shirts. Jan, it's late in Norway, but Jan's still dedicated. Mm-hmm. Jan, you were telling us that you had a bit of a haircut malfunction. They stopped halfway through. What happened?
My wife told me, Jan, you look like an artist, but you're not an artist at all. So go to the hairdressers. So before you done, say, do you finish it tomorrow? Yes, I'm finishing it tomorrow.
Oh, wow. No, because you got a lot of length off the back, but the front is... The front.
How does that work?
No, the front is still the... Yeah. Do you remember having hair, Ali?
No, well, it was a while back. And let's just say the hairdressers didn't have many options. Now, I have a question.
This is the first time you're in the studio... Last time you're in the studio, because you're going to Barcelona next week. Uh-huh. Preceding that, you're going to Texas tomorrow for Venezuela. I feel like air quotes are appropriate here. Legend game.
Well, the bar may be very low for the legend term, but yes, Venezuelan legends are getting back together. You know what my role is going to be, right?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to draw fouls for Juan Arango. It's no different than when I was a player.
That's it. And people are going to pay to watch you play?
Apparently, there's a market for this.
Wow. Can we watch it? Can we stream this somewhere?
There is a YouTube channel that I will make available to you.
Perfect. Go on, Stevie.
I'm going to guess there's going to be more than you falling over. This will be interesting. Last man standing.
Oh, yes. Hey, and Stevie, you got a new ball behind you. What's that silver one? That crystal one? That's definitely new.
No, it's not. It's been here forever.
Ah. What is it? Careful.
It's the MLS Coach of the Year.
Oh. Hey! So do they just give that to MLS Cup winners?
No.
Reds might win this year, MLS Cup.
You know who's not coaching them?
Stevie, do you want them to win? Do you want them to win this year?
Who?
The Revs? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really?
Of course they do. Why would they not want the Revs to win?
Bitterness.
Well, I'm not English.
You're bitter, Dan.
English
you're
are the people that are bitter in the UK. Us Scots are very loving. We're big hearts.
Oh, really?
Of course I want them to win.
Yes, where's Craig Burley from?
Yes. What part of Scotland is he from?
From Shetland.
Every country has their exceptions.
Okay, yeah. What skill could you have worked on and have gotten better at? Is there any area you think you could have improved in as a player?
Good question, because I think I just discussed it with some younger generations the other day, because I think when we grew up, we didn't know all about these personal coaches and all that kind of thing. So if I knew what I knew now, I would, of course, have my own personal coach. I would train more strength, core, those kind of things. I was quite clever to train after every session. I was taking some young players, going out and with a goalkeeper and doing all my finishing, but I would train more strength, absolutely.
Yeah, Stevie, what would you do different?
I certainly wouldn't eat and drink what I did. That would make a big difference, I would think.
But surely when you're having a pint of Coke and a pack of crisps, did it not hit you that maybe this isn't the greatest thing for my body?
Well, the mentality then was that even though you put garbage in your body, you ran it off. And so we all kind of believed, my generation, we all believed that. So the fact that you went out and had 10 pints, it was like, you know what, I'm going to have to work even harder tomorrow and sweat it out. And you actually, in your brain, you believed it.
Yeah, but Stevie, the good thing about you guys in Liverpool, you won every title, so you were right. Science can just go and hide.
Yeah, take that, science. And yeah, Shaka, what would you have done differently?
Oh, boy.
So what? I would have had a sports psychologist.
Oh. What? I don't know, Shaka. You're pretty sensible.
Yeah.
I just think that the psychology part of the game is something that's new as well, that, like Stevie said, back in the day, I think a lot of people could have benefited from.
Oh, okay.
How do you think I would have done with a sports psychologist?
You would have walked out after five minutes.
It would not have worked.
No, it would have been, yes.
Because Melissa would have got into his ear.
The psychologist would have needed a psychologist.
Can you make a little calm?
Can you imagine Ali? Ali would sit in the chair. Ali would sit in the chair, the psychologist would go, right, Alejandro, why do you keep falling over? That would be the first question.
Hey. Meanwhile, Craig would make them retire. That'd be it. They would change careers.
Yeah. Reconsider.
Psychologists would need a psychologist. After yeah,
exactly. Stevie, which Liverpool player was the fastest in your time and who was the slowest? Well, good question.
Brian Rees.
No, Liverpool.
Whatever the answer is, Brian Rees.
My goodness.
Oh, God.
That's a tough one.
Jan Mulby.
I'll tell you what, there was
Jan
nobody
Mulby.
Quicker. Are we counting goalkeepers in this?
No.
If we're counting goalkeepers, I'm going to say Steve Ogrizovic.
Right.
Yeah. Big Oggy.
But he could down a pint very quickly, yes? Is that made up for him?
No, that was Mike Hooper.
Mike Hooper.
That was Mike Hooper.
Come on,
it's your goal
reserve Liverpool goalkeeper.
I'm going to say, I couldn't guess if it was like a straight sprint. I couldn't guess, but I'll tell you what, I don't think there was anybody quicker over like 5 or 10 yards than Rushy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he always separated. I'm not talking about training. In a game, he always got separation. He always had time to pick his spot. I would say over 10 yards, which is important and more important in football than being able to run 100 yards.
Sure.
I'll go for Rushy.
Who's quicker, Rushy or Sula?
Rushy's mum's quicker than Sula.
Stevie, who was the fastest player you played against?
See, again, that's a tough one because we used to. So there was a guy at Forest called Crosby, for example.
Yeah.
Who was just blatantly fast.
Right.
But to be honest, the trick is you don't get yourself in a position where it's a race.
You either drop off
and get yourself a start.
Intelligence.
Or you bring him inside. You bring him inside where all the traffic is, and that's what you do with all the guys that are fast. You either give yourself a yard. Or you take them inside to the traffic.
Stevie, okay.
You okay?
No, I just know what the answer is.
Okay.
Favourite UEFA Champions League final that you've watched, Stevie?
Liverpool AC Milan.
2005, Istanbul.
I've got to tell you, though. Hold on a second, though. I must tell you, though. It was absolute torture until that missed penalty. From Shevchenko at the end. It was absolute torture. I mean, even at 3-3, I thought, they're not going to have the legs for extra time. And they hung on, and of course, that chance Shevchenko had just before the penalties, and then it goes to penalties. And so the whole time you're sitting there, I mean, I was actually ESPN doing the game. And I was absolutely walking up and down, a couple of choice words. As soon as the last penalty was missed, magic.
I was listening to Xavi Alonso talk about that final, and he said that penalty was the first one he'd ever taken professionally. How bonkers is that in a Champions League final? And you miss it.
So it's a special moment in some way?
Wow, it's just nuts. It's like, right, out of all of the people on the pitch, it's just crazy. What's Benitez thinking there, Stevie? Yeah,
honestly.
Well, you can make all the preparations that you want, but football will fling up something and then you're left with no choice. And I'm going to assume that if it wasn't him, it'd have been somebody else who maybe never took one. So
I can take another.
Some things just get thrown up.
I could take another final, Dan, because everybody think of Istanbul. That was a great experience to see that game. I can go back to Wembley when Bayern Munich behind me, one of the shirts beat the other shirt behind me, Dortmund, in that Wembley final. It started with UEFA having this great idea when two German teams play at Wembley. Let's have a war game before the game. And they put out Paul Breitner as a soldier, a former Bayern Munich player. So after the game, I was desperate to get away from Wembley. Who can I go to? So I called my colleague at Sky Germany. I knew he was in the stadium. So he said, go to entrance 49, but run. We are leaving with a car. So I run, hopefully I can get the car. I jump into the car. Who is sitting next to me? Franz Beckenbauer, der Kaiser, who was working for Germany. And he had a go at me and he said, what about Schweinsteiger? Did you see Schweinsteiger? He was so bad today. He was too deep. And I said, in all due respect, you won the game. Yeah, but still, Schweinsteiger was terrible. I can't believe it. And then I went with the car and I told him, where are you going? Now we're going to a big celebration with the team. So I man-marked der Kaiser, Franz Beckenbauer. So I came into the party and had a great party together with a Bayern Munich player. So that was a good night.
Wow, very nice. Wow. Goodness me. Shaka, do you have a similar tale?
No, none that good. Nobody let me in their car, that's for sure. Listen, for the football 2011, Barca Man U, but for the pure drama, you cannot beat 2007. Yeah. Just for pure drama, you can't.
2005, I think that was, wasn't it?
What about ours?
95. Same thing, you know what I mean.
I'm on. Cardiff, you and I.
Cardiff was good.
Milan, you and I.
Yeah, it was all right.
No, but we're not talking about the game.
No, I know.
We were there.
Yeah, but I did have Madrid with Steve Nicol in a karaoke
bar. Oh, that's it. See?
Singing You'll Never Walk Alone.
So that's it.
No, my one, 2010, Santiago Bernabeu, Inter against Bayern, stadium announcer, Dan Thomas. Substitution for Inter.
Wait. Yeah. Were you doing him in Spanish as well? You're just the English guy.
I was the English guy. UEFA gave me a 500 euro note. I'd never seen one before. Great.
Very good.
But Dan, you've got
to give us one of the announcements you made.
I can't remember. Choraloglu wasn't playing.
Anything. Bing bong. But it was all the Bayern Munich supporters. Please stay till the end.
Thank you very much.
But it was quite interesting. After the game, Dan, in that particular final, the German journalist was so mad at Mourinho because they meant he played negative football. So one of my colleagues at Sky said to Mourinho, he said, we had ball possession. Bayern had the ball all the time. And Mourinho looked at him and said, well, they take the ball home, I take the trophy home. I think that was a good quote from it.
Yeah, and he said the stadium announcer was amazing.
Yeah, he was. It's what really got us over the top. We heard his voice, we felt inspired.
Oh, man. Let's move on, shall we, from my glory days. Anyone actually bought Frank's book yet?
It's in French.
Well, none of us speak. Jan, do you speak French?
I don't understand this question. Does anyone bought his book? Anyone in the world?
At all? I don't know.
No, I don't speak French. No,
I'm just going to get them all out for Christmas. Okay, final question. We kind of touched on this before, and I feel drawn to you, Stevie. How did retirement affect your diet and health consciousness?
Well, the only thing I say that changed when I stopped playing was that I stopped running. Everything else stayed the same.
Right, okay.
Hasn't quite worked.
Good answer.
How's your exercise bike in the basement, Stevie? Is it going well?
It's a good hanger place. You hang the clothes from
it. It needs a little dusting off, shall we say.
Shaka, what about yourself?
Kind of the same. Not a whole lot has changed, dad-wise, I'll be honest with you.
Right. I would suggest, are the fittest of the three that we can see.
It's a tough competition.
Well, can you not see Ali sat next to you?
Well, no, it's the three that we can see. Those three there.
But you know,
the Ali sat next to you.
The Venezuela legend.
That's him. But Dante.
No, but it's interesting because a lot of players when they leave football, they're getting fat. We got to be honest. So boys, we have to keep running like Stevie's doing in his basement.
Stevie's running to the Shepherd's Pie.
I was playing, though.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's true. Jan, how was your Legends game?
As you can tell, the basement's not very big.
I saw you posting this weekend. You had a game in a town. Your dad was the referee. How was all that?
Absolutely. I went to my home village. I had a soccer school. It was good. It was free for all kids to get in. And traditionally, I always have a game at the end. I started with that when I was a professional. Now I played again. I was the worst player on the pitch. I was terrible. But it was a good game. I was frightening. Frightening.
Oh, you're finding the children.
Did you not follow my advice?
Sorry, Stephen. What are you saying?
Did you not follow the advice I gave you?
What was the advice you gave me?
I gave you an advice on that.
Yeah, yeah, Stevie, you gave me an advice, didn't you? I didn't follow it.
What was the advice?
Well, he was worried about whether he could play the whole game and stuff. And I said, I'll tell you what, learn from the master.
Yeah, I did it, Dalglish.
Dalglish thing.
Yeah. Okay. The problem is I had my mother.
Look at
I had my mother applauding me.
Hey, my parents are coming.
Your parents?
My parents are coming, so we'll have two people applauding for me.
Wow. They're going to Texas from Florida just for this?
Well, I am a very special son to them.
Come on.
They love me very much, Dan.
Wow.
Right. That make me laugh.
Bless them. Bless them.
I guess you must be the only son then.
Should we talk about the Moreno family dynamics? Let's go through that. I believe that is it. I think we are done now. Thank you very much. Ali, have a great time.
Thank you, everybody.
What do you mean? I'm the only son.
Get running, Stevie.